dog because this is a church that worships his mother.
Mariolatry.
It's a Catholic church. Started about 600 A.D. and goes on through the rapture until the middle of the tribulation period. On earth. She didn't go up the rapture. It probably got its greatest impulse in 596 when Pope Gregory, with a papal bull, instituted what he called papal infallibility. Arrogated to the popes of Rome the universal sovereignty over the whole church, universal church. She's claimed that ever since. Here's the one with eyes as a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. Was going to say, I'm the one who searches the reins and the hearts here in the church. I know thy works, many names, a number of them, and I want you to notice what he says, and thy charity and thy service and thy faith and thy patient endurance and thy works, and more love than works. These were the mystics in the Catholic Church. He's talking to true saints in the Catholic Church. There are some. Not because of the Catholic Church, but in spite of it. Martin Luther was a saved man. Madame Gale was saved. There's so many that were saved. I don't know about St. Francis of Assisi, as they call him, and a few of the others. I read some good things and some bad things, but I have no doubt there were more than just Martin Luther that suddenly went through the whole mumbo-jumbo and saw salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. How about some Catholics? We had a Catholic man, young man came here, 3, 4, 5 years ago. He apparently got too warm for anyone willing to leave the Catholic Church at first. I hope he has since. But I believe this young man was genuinely saved. Wasn't very young, about 40, I guess. Genuinely saved. But he wanted to argue in class every time we exposed this scholar woman. Because he wasn't willing to leave the Catholic Church. And then, of course, the charismatics are taking him in wholesale. All you have to do is speak in tongues. You can still believe in the Pope and the Virgin Mary as your mediator to you and God and all the rest. And they'll take you in, hug you, and let you preach to them. See more Catholic fathers now that got the gift of tongues and so there in the true church. They have the idea your doctrine doesn't mount a hill of beans just so you got the experience. You can speak in tongues and shout and holler and hoop and jump, well, you've got it. Don't worry about the theology. You can worship Mary, kiss the old folks' toe. I still say I'd like to do that. I'd buy you to it. Notwithstanding, but is the Greek, I have this. Authorized version puts that few things again. Let me leave that out. It's in italics. I have this against you. Because thou tolerates, that word suffers. In the Greek is to tolerate. Here's the pastor he's talking to now, the angel of the church. You suffer or tolerate your wife. That Jezebel. Which calls herself a prophetess, like Madam White did, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed on idols. The two greatest sins of the Catholic Church, outside, of course, of their rejection of Jesus Christ as their only Savior, that, of course, is the damning sin. Is both spiritual and literal idolatry and fornication. Some of the dirtiest people on the face of the earth are some of their holiest. And remind me of dear old Hobi, a holy man. And then that executioner they've got who's a holy man, whose job it is to kill everybody in sight and then agree with the number one holy man. Like the fakers in India, You're also dirty externally and internally. The Catholic Church and the celibacy of the priesthood is one of the great immoralities of the Catholic Church. I could give you illustration after illustration. One father used to be a Newport Rich. He was the dirtiest rascal in the 10 states. So I say literally too, but spiritually greater. For their idolatry is fornication. It is spiritual fornication. I gave her time to repent of her fornication. And she will not repent. This is great. Behold, I will cast her into a bed. That's an Old Testament expression. Means a bed of torment. And then we commit adultery with her in the great affliction. She and all her kids. All of those that have been taken up with her, especially in this last days after the church's rapture. Then comes this Hebrewism I like very much. I will kill her children with death. It's somewhat like that other Hebrewism. And when they arose in the morning, they were all dead corpses. This one is a Hebrewism of utter annihilation as far as this world is concerned. I will kill her children with death. Because kill with death is a beautiful expression. It means what they used to say up in the mountain, graveyard dead. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts. I love this text. It shows unmistakably the deity of Jesus Christ. It also shows that he's the Jehovah of the Old Testament. For the identical expression is used in Jeremiah 17:10 by Jehovah. You ought to put that with this text. It proves unmistakably that Jesus Christ is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. For there in Jeremiah 17:10, God says, Jehovah God says, I, Jehovah, search the heart and try the reins to give every man according to his doings. 5 times in the Old Testament, by the way, that occurs. Jeremiah 17:10, primarily. Here Jesus said, I am the one who searches the reins. And the reins is kidneys. Take this out of Christian psychology. The kidneys are used in the Hebrew for, and this is the only time this word occurs in the New Testament, nephros in the Greek, or sphagna in the Old Testament. But it is, I try the reins or the motivation power of every man. That's what he judges, motives. Always. Not results. Not what you did, but why you did it. Here's why every sin starts in the heart. Jesus said, out of the heart proceed all these things. But here's the deity of Jesus Christ.
I know we've got to hurry, but could you comment just quickly on the last part of verse 22, right before that? It says, except they repent of their deeds.
Of course, this allows for salvation, even in the tribulation period. In fact, I have been born in the tribulation period. And we'll come to that later in Revelation on repentance. Usually it's in a Hebrewism to give God the glory. We'll see how that means repentance in some other texts. But unto you I say, as unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not known the doctrine this doctrine and which have not known the depths of Satan This is Satan's mysteries. He's always had them. He counterfeit. And remember, all of Satan's deaths and mysteries find culmination in mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. That's wrong. In the 17th chapter of Revelation. That woman who sits upon the seven hills of the city. That's wrong. We'll prove it when we come to it. They're even named in all the great songs of the Roman historians. Now here's the message to the overcomers. But that which ye already have, hold fast until I shall have come, is the Greek grammar. Until I shall have come. Here is the first time that actually there's a warning of the coming of the Lord Jesus. It shows this church goes on from 600 A.D. right on up to the rapture, and any true saints in Thyatira go up, and the rest go on into Thyatira to become the great scarlet woman and the great ecumenic world church, mystery Babylon the Great under the false prophet. And he that comforteth and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. The thing the Roman Catholic Church has always sought for 1,500 years. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. As in Psalms 2:9 and in Revelation, later on in chapter 19 and 15. As a vessel of a potter shall be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. Here again is a promise of a unique possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the morning star, as very plain in 22:16. Christ said, I am the bright morning star. Now, in chapter 3, starting with Martin Luther's, and this is arbitrary, of course. There were many saints before this. There was a Sardinian church before Martin Luther, but you have to have some kind of a pick. So we put 1517, when Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the church door at Wittenberg. 1517. And this one goes right on up to the rapture, and then Christ takes the saints out and the rest go into the tribulation period. But only Philadelphia as a church is caught up. Only the saints are caught up out of the rest of the churches. For Sardis is lifeless promises. Lifeless consciousness. Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. You know what that verse means? According to Webster, it's a nominal Christian. And you know what a nominal Christian is? One in name only. It's one who has a form of godliness but denies the power, which is the life. Protestantism is no better than Catholicism, and it is Catholicism without a pope. It doesn't have Christ. It doesn't have life. Now it has some saints. I've seen some saints in Sardis. I've preached in a lot of Sardinian churches. I didn't say Sardine, but well, they ought to. Sardinian churches. I've preached in lots of them. I remember one time here, oh, I guess 15 or 16 years ago. I don't know if it was a ministerial association or one of the members of the church called me to preach in a great big church in Tampa. I wouldn't name it. You think I'm anti-denominational. I'm not. You'll see theology next year. So they called and asked if Dr. Watson would come. And he couldn't go, so he told them I would go, so I was the second choice. And in praying about it, God gave me a pretty strong message. It's a cool church. Now, remember, as I started preaching and reading my text and got all those cold stares, but the amazing thing was, every once in a while, as I look around, there'd be some saint there, a Christian, And they start smiling. And then they begin to blossom. They remind me of that little Japanese dried up plant, a little bulb you put in water and it begins to grow. Otherwise, it's just shriveled up. Nothing for all that time. It's been for years like that. And here were these, I call them God's frozen assets. Same, but no testimony, no appreciation. And I'm just as surprised they're there as Jesus is. You know what he says here, even in Sardis? Do you know what that word even means? What in the world are you doing here? That's where I thought. What are you doing here? And after the service, a lot of them would come up, you know, and hold out the hand like this for you to shake. I call it fish right handshake. You ring and hand it back. And then some dear sister or brother would say, I enjoyed your message. And I wanted to say so badly, you're a liar. You didn't like it at all. You could tell by looking at it. Now that's Sardis. Did you know there are a lot of Sardinian churches right around here? A lot of them. They have a name that they live. Okay. I want you to know several expressions in here of this Sardis church. And if the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God. You see why he says that? This is a dead church. It has a name to live. It's dead. He has the seven spirits and give life. And the seven stars, I want you, your preacher, to know that I'm holding them in his hand, in my hand. I know thy works. Thou hast a name that thou livest, and thou art dead. Notice what he says. That be watchful in the Greek is wake up. Be awake. And the Greek is keep on becoming awake. And that word strengthen is invigorate. To give another translation, it means that it's life in you. The things which remain that are about to die may lie. It's better ready. You're on the point of dying. In other words, you've got just a few little members that have a wiggle in them in the body. It's dead everywhere else except you'll find a little brush of pink in the member. In other words, it's right on the point of dying. For I have not found any of thy works. I believe this is because this was a missionary church. I think any church that's not missionary will soon die. I believe that with all my heart. This is why I'm glad that the missionary program at Trinity College, as a school, we don't have any missionary program, and if missionaries do not come out of Trinity College, I don't care how many pastors we set up, we're a dead institution. What is the greatest program on God's heart today? Is it, as I love Oswald J. Smith on this, he used to always say, I think he invented it, he's the person I ever heard say it. Those that have never heard, we have an obligation to give the gospel at least once to those who have never heard before we preach it twice to those who have already heard. What do you think if Jesus Christ were standing before you this morning and were teaching this lesson and he was saying to you, so you ask the question, what is the thing you want done the most? Tell to those who've never heard. Get this gospel around here. Every preacher. I've seen some churches that gave thousands and thousands of dollars to this program and that program and building a bigger auditorium and all the rest and then give maybe $1,000 to missions. And take it $1 million. I just read this last year from the Southern Baptist Convention, and they were proud of that. They announced how much was raised throughout the whole year by every church in the Southern Baptist Convention for mission. You know what it came out to? 7 cents a person. They were proud of it. They didn't figure out the 7 cents. I figured it out. I took how much they gave and how many Southern Baptists, the 13 million Southern Baptists there were, and then divided it, and I got 7 cents. And did you know, I imagine a lot of those dear church members said they're breathing us to death for mission. They don't have much blood in them. If you could be fed to death on 7 cents in a year, remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. See, God saying to me in 1 Thessalonians 5, 4 through 6. Matthew 24, 4. It's the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then there's a double negative. Thou shalt not know, thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even. I underscore that word even. Into a certain amount. Even in silence, it speaks of surprise. Notice they have a name to live, things that remain, asleep, ready to die, works not filled up, few names, even in silence. Not a very healthy church. They're not defiled their garments. And by the way, the garments are defiled by touching a dead body. How can you go to a church like this and not touch some dead bodies? All around you. If you shake hands with a preacher, a lot of times as you go out, you're shaking hands with the corpse. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that accompanieth, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot, and it's a double negative. I will know not ever blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father. Jesus said this, and there's a good sermon here, and I doubt if you want to hear it. Mm-hmm. I'm being ashamed before my Father if you're ashamed of me. If you confess me, I will confess you. Jesus said that in three of the Gospels four times. Here is the last true church on earth, Philadelphia. And I know why he picked this name. I'm sure it's in Philadelphia. The word Philadelphia means brotherly love. Brotherly love. It's the last true church on earth before the rapture. All the true churches. Now we have true saints in all these other churches. Not many, and some of them, few. But here, everybody in Philadelphia is a true church. Philadelphia is taking the folks there. It's the only church with which he finds no fault. Now, don't let that little flock bother you. Philadelphia is only Philadelphia in comparison. Jesus called them little flock. And if you give the right testimony, you're going to be a little flock. And especially the closer we come to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to be a popular preacher in a great church and have everybody love you, you'll have to flip your message. I've pastored churches where I had got along great and everybody loved me to death until God told me to preach certain kinds of messages, and the first thing you know, bingo, I didn't even joke. Then you get that other active member that we talked about. Remember we said that we talked about man had 50 active members. And they said, that's a wonderful church. He said, yes, 50 actively for me and 50 actively against me. But all active. God had that. I pastored two churches where they tried to keep me out. First thing you know, you're going to find those people who loved you so much are the ones that are going to knock you on the head if they can. Paul even said to the saints, to the Galatians, where is that love that you profess to me? So you need to pluck out your eyes and give them a meal. Now, because he said, have I become your enemy because I told you the truth? You're not really popular. And you know the sermon when it comes. You know who God had in mind for it. The church will do. That person in mind. And he'll practically say, you called me by name. That's personal application. Not the Holy Ghost. You don't have to do it. Now, don't by any means get up there and say, I know that there's somebody in this church. I'm not going to mention any names, but he's only got one leg. You don't have to do it exactly that way, but you can make it so plain until everybody turns around and looks at him. Like if you're preaching on divorce or adultery or bank robbery, and you know he's as crooked as Judas Iscariot in the banking business. You don't have to mention any names. You have to be careful. Don't talk. Just preach the truth. The Holy Ghost will. We'll do a better job of it. And the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, the Holy One, and the true One, he that hath the key of David, which is prophesied in Isaiah 22:22, and could be other kinds in the Old Testament. He that openeth, no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door. I believe this open door is missions. Again. And I believe every true Philadelphian church today with this open door takes advantage of it. A lot of you will go into churches and you'll find the door slammed shut and everybody doesn't want to give to missions. I preach in a church in the summertime up in the mountains. They don't believe in giving one dime to missions. No wonder they're always having problems. Oh, you remember, said several times, there's an open door set before me in many adversaries. I have no doubt the same open door, the open door of missionary opportunity. I know that if the church is not faithful to step into that door, it gets closed. Like China and Bali was wide open. The little island of Bali was wide open to the gospel. Now it's shut tight. Mexico was wide open several years ago. Now Mexico is shut tight. India was wide open, and instead of going in and evangelizing India, we didn't, and now they allow no new missionaries to come in. Old missionaries go back, but most new missionaries are excluded. Colombia, South America, so many fields of the world where Church of Jesus Christ has been unfaithful going in the open door. It's been slammed shut. Doesn't mean that God can't open it again. And of course, radio is going in a lot of places where you can't go any other way. But here's a church to which Christ promises rapture before the time of trouble. He said, thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Behold, I'll make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews that are not, but do lie. I'll make them to come and worship before thy feet. To know that I have loved thee. I think a lot of this is going to be at the great white judgment throne. I can just see old Harry Emerson Foster standing in front of there and bowing down and having to bow to me to Jesus Christ, and then see us with him and having to bow to those despised Christians. S. Pross Cadman, or Bishop Pike, or going down the list, I can pick up a thousand of them. Who despise born again believers? They despise true preachers worse than all. But here's the promise, and I love this. We'll be referring to it again in several ways. Because thou hast kept, I'll keep you. Two keepings. Reciprocation. Because you've kept the words of my patience. Patient endurance is the great one. I also will keep you ek. E-K. Greek scholars, you study these prepositions real closely. Very important here. Ek. It. And here's why, I don't know if it's diagonal, one translation or other hand, I will keep you clean away from. It never carries the idea of keeping you in the midst of or through, beyond, or in or each. I'll keep you clean away from that hour of trial, which is coming upon the whole habitable earth. And I'll give you why I translate this language. This is what the Greek word means. Seven times, I think. The whole habitable earth to try the earth dwellers. Earth dwellers. As distinguished from tent dwellers. Behold, I come speedily, hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that conquereth will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. We'll come back to this 12th verse probably in some other ways, but there are several things, beautiful things in here. I'll make him a pillar in the temple of my God. I have no doubt he's referring to those two temples that he put back there in Solomon's temple and the names that they call them. We may come back to that. And he shall go no more out. It's double negative again. Absolutely sure. Now write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, and which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down from the heaven from my God. Best of all, I'll write upon him my name. It's the way. There's one more. They were seeing.
That's the name relative to the Lord.
Let's see, that was. Yes. And several other places, by the way, if we have time to chase it down. But I've got to finish this. Laodicea is contemporaneous with the rest in the last days, and every New Testament writer writes about Laodicea one way or another. He's starting with Christ, the last great apostasy. This is an apostate church. It used to be hot and grown cold. Used to be a true church. Now it's an apostate. And the angel of the church at Laodicea write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. The archaic is better than create at the beginning. Here's the idea of the one who began it. All issues from him. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou art cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and a man, I'll vomit you out of my mouth, the Greek. Jesus said, this church makes me sick to my stomach. And I say, Amen, Lord, they make me sick too. Naming the name and not possessing the possession. Now notice what she says and what he says. Two viewpoints. She says, I am rich and increased with goods. I am rich and getting richer. And have need of nothing. Not even carrying some food. Nothing. Self-satisfied. And I wish I could read this next text to some dear old rich dowager in some great big plush church who says she has need of nothing and that she's all right and... Notice what he says to her. Thou art wretched and naked and poor and blind. Me, poor? These big diamonds I've got? And this solid gold cross on my well-fed neck? How does God see folks? There are some people that the world doesn't want. In fact, they send them out of it. As fast as they can send them out, if they can do it. It's slain God's saints. All heaven, I can start singing when they enter in. They reach toward God. Then the cure. He says, you buy or barter from me gold tried in the fire. You're going to have that kind of gold. It's the kind of gold that you get here, you can't take to the fire zone. In hell or in heaven. Here's a gold that's tried in the fire. It's good all throughout eternity. And white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. And that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. It's a strange thing that they say Laodicea was where the best ointment of nard for the eye ointment was made. Many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Here's that word zealous. Doesn't quite get what it ought to. It's come to a boil. Come back up to this place where the church used to be. You're neither hot nor cold, you become lukewarm. Now that word be zealous is come back up to a boiling point. Here's where he is in this church on the outside. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Let any second church be reborn. The last apostate church on earth doesn't reform. He's calling the individuals out of it. He always has done this. God's always called his saints out of Babylon, out of every false church. For this church is going on into the tribulation period, Laodicea, except for those saints in the church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him and sup with him, he with me. I usually illustrate this in class, in other kind of classes, of a man sitting on the church door crying, and the Lord Jesus came by and asked him, he said, what are you crying for? He said, I've tried for 3 years to get into this church and they won't have me. And Jesus said, I've tried for 20 years and they won't have me either. It's on the outside. To him that comforteth, will I grant to sit with me upon my throne, even as I comfort, to sit down with my Father on his throne. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. All four of these last churches go on up to the rapture, and Philadelphia goes up out of it. The other three go right on in. Remember, all the true saints are caught out of every one of the last four. But the apostate church goes right on into the great ecumenical movement under probably the World Council of Churches, under the false prophets, and under the great scarlet woman, the Roman Catholic Church, until there'll be one world church. There is no other church on earth during the tribulation period. None at all. There is the remnant of the woman's seed. We have the witness of Jesus. There's 144,000. There's the great innumerable multitude who come up out of the tribulation. Begin for the witness of Christ. But no church. The only church on earth is apostate Jezebelism. Or the Roman Catholic Church with all promises of Galilee. It's just in the last days. You haven't got the definite starting point that you have in every other one. Every other one there. But it is in the last days, as every prophecy gives. Christ said, because the love of many shall wax cold, therefore he deceiving the very elect, if it were possible. Keeps on going and all kinds of statements like that. Remember, there is a church on earth. It's the synagogue of Satan. It is the great scarlet woman. The only true church now is in heaven during this period of the great tribulation. There's been rapture. Philadelphia's been taken out. Notice your chart, as you'll see it on that, of the last four churches. It'll get it clear in your mind. in Revelation 2 and 3, you'll see that the four last four churches start at a different period, but then all four of them go right after the tribulation, and only Philadelphia goes out. And the other three churches go right on in to the tribulation period, and doesn't make any great difference with them. They can worship the Antichrist. They can worship the false Christ anyhow. Oh, yes. In fact, in the first century, the whole church was missionary-minded. It actually didn't lose its power back to the whole known world. Not just with Paul, but even after Paul. Until the church became popular under Constantine in 313. And then the bishops began to arrogate to themselves authority until around 600. And they took themselves universal vicegerency on earth. In other words, they made a game vice president on earth. Anybody else?
Sorry.